prayed from the bottom of your heart today. Exalt his holy name. Magnify his holy name. Worship his majesty. He is Yahweh. He is the King of glory. He is the Lord of lords. He is Jehovah. He is higher than the highest. He is fully bigger than the biggest. He is called the Almighty God. All the might that be belong to him. Exalt him. Lift up his holy name. Lift up his holy name. We worship you. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you adoration. Blessed be your name, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we have given thanks. You know, God is not in the business of impressing nobody. So what he said he will do, he will do it. Hallelujah. Because he is the Most High God. He cannot change. He will not change. Hallelujah. Like I've normally said, like I normally say, people lie or they try to post so that they will look bigger than they really are. But the Almighty, there is nothing you give him that can change him. He's unchangeable. He is Yahweh. He is wonderful. He is glorious. Please, do all your best to worship him. Don't let this month pass. We're just in the middle of the month. Hallelujah to Jesus. You know, that song, I've been waking up with it, and it's been ministering to me. Even when I try to, when the thing tries to depart from my memory, the Holy Spirit will still bring it back. You are Yahweh, Alpha and the Omega. God cannot be the Alpha and Omega of your life and sickness will be having a free day. It's not possible. No. Let me look at that testimony. They said, your liver looked like that of 15 years. That is, even if you cut his age into two, it's still more than that. That is to tell you that the life of God surged in that liver. We've had the person in the one time that he said that the liver is packing up. I said, what's packing up? God gave him communion. And he went back. She was about to do liver transplant. And I said, take communion. They went back. They said, no more transplant. See, the liver came back alive. God is the Almighty. Hallelujah to Jesus. When his glory is present in a place, or in a body, or in a business, that business can go down, sir. Father, as we look into your word again today, reveal unto us another depth of the light that will shatter every darkness around us in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And let your name be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Before we go into the word, I want us to remember to commit this program unto the hands of God. One of our friend ministry, Glory Tabernacle, let me know that the church that Pastor Eberi pastors, they will be having their 7th anniversary month end, 28 and 29. And by the grace of God, I will be ministering there among other ministers. So let's remember to commit into the hands of God that it will be a glorious event in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And a day after, we'll be going to Yotibori as well and come back just... we leave in the morning and come back in the evening by the grace of God. So let's be lifting up the two programs to the hand of God, that the presence of God shall be there, and that he will heal, he will deliver, and he will confirm his word with signs and wonders in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah to Jesus. So we continue with the series of our teaching. Welcome, the King of Glory. The King of Glory will come afresh into your life in the mighty name of Jesus. It's wonderful, you know, as we are taking the Bible reading, I just look at that verse. In Psalms 24, verse 7, we say 24-7. God is always present 24-7. And he said, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting door. And the King of Glory shall come in. So 24-7, the King of Glory will be in your life in the mighty name of Jesus. 24-7 means 24 hours, 7 days. So it's a wonderful thing. Thank you, Jesus. And so we'll be looking at the place of the King of Glory in our lives. And last week we looked at different angles of it, especially looking at the faith, the salvation connection. That except you are born again, you cannot reflect the glory of God. Because the glory of God is only reserved for those who are saved. Hallelujah. It is the glory of God that makes us what we are. Once you remove the glory of God from a man, from a nation, from an entity, it will lose color. It becomes a byword. It becomes a nuisance. Man, when the glory of God surrounded the man in the garden, everything was moving unfair, moving unwell. But when the glory departed, color departed. Peace departed. In fact, he even lost his senses to the extent that they started making or creating alternatives to the glory of God. Because how can you, that is being covered by the glory of God that is undescribable, thinking of replacing that glory with ordinary leaves? They were not even thinking of killing animals and say, okay, let me kill one of these animals and use the skin. That is to tell you that even man's mind without the glory of God is a corrupt mind. He cannot reason at the frequency of God. You know, it's just like when you are trying to service your car and you are asking your dog, my dog, last month I went to that man in the other junction. Do you think I should go to the other one this week? He will just go, whoo, whoo. Because his realm, his mind, he couldn't comprehend that level. So when man lost the glory of God, he lost the mind of Christ, the creative mind. His body started decaying. And of course, you know that the first one was, of course, what his spirit did before. He was disconnected from God. You will not be disconnected from God in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And so we look at the salvation connection, we look at love connection, that when you love God, His glory or His presence or His manifest presence will be around you. We also looked at obedience connection, that the presence of God or the glory of God is only possible when you obey God. If God asks you to go to left and you say, no, I don't feel like going to the left, I prefer like going to the right, then His presence departs, and when His presence departs, His glory departs also. We also look at the word connection. And we were able to establish the fact that the word of God, the spirit of God, and the son of God, they are all one. So wherever you have one of them, the three will be present because they are one together. So the more or the depth of your revelation of the word is what will determine your depth of how cloudy that glory will be. Thank you, Jesus. We're not talking of spirit. Feelings now. No, we're talking about the reality of His presence, announced presence of God. Whenever you have the Word of God, the presence of God will be manifested in that environment because His Word cannot be separated from Him. And we say we're not talking even about just quoting the word or memorizing the word. We're talking about the revelation, the depth or the light, the depth of light that you possess. Hallelujah. And so run after the word. That's why one of the prayer points was, Lord, grant us access. We are thanking Him for the access of the depth of revelation. Because when you understand God, when you understand His way, when you understand His will, there are some things that will never come out of your mouth. There are some places you will naturally never even think of going when you have the understanding of the word of God. Thank you, Jesus. And quickly today, I want us to look at the faith connection. Say the faith connection. The faith connection. Thank you, Jesus. Everyone who enjoyed divine presence in the Bible were men and women of faith. If you remove the issue of faith from Christianity, it becomes an empty religion. Hallelujah to Jesus. It is faith. In fact, people don't only call Christian, they say the faith. Once you remove faith from it, it becomes ordinary shadow of itself. Once you remove faith from the picture, there will be nothing called Christianity. Hallelujah. I was speaking with my son when we were coming, and we were talking about how to be born again. And I tried to make you understand that what makes you a Christian is because you believe in Jesus, and not just believe in, because we are talking about this, the followers of Christ, I mean the apostles, and we talk about Thomas. And he said, I said, why will you forget Thomas? Thomas, who refused to believe, said, I will not believe until I touch that sign and I see. And I said, yes. Later, he repented. He said, I repent. Did he sin? Yes. I said, yes, he sinned. Because if you don't believe that Jesus resurrected, why are you a Christian? He is no more worse than any other infidel at that time. So I said, what makes you a Christian is your faith, believing that he is what he says. Because every other religion, the most of them do not doubt the existence or the reality of the personality called Jesus, the Christ. They believe he existed. They believe he lived one time. Of course, some didn't believe that he resurrected. But when you don't believe that he resurrected, it means you don't have faith in him. You don't have faith in what he did. And you are not a Christian. So what makes you a Christian is the faith. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go to the Word of God quickly. Hallelujah to Jesus. Let's start from Matthew chapter 17. Matthew 17, talking about the experience of Jesus. Matthew 17, starting from verse 1. Hallelujah. Bible said, and after 6 days, taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them. I mean, Jesus taketh Peter. So he took these three guys and said, okay, let's go for an experience on the mountain. He left others. Remember this, the three of them were the inner carcass. They are the inner carcass. So he said, go there. Let's go up. Let's go. Let's go and have an experience there. He said, he bringeth them up into high mountain. Because life is in layers. Faith is in layers. Some people's faith is just at the mountain, I mean, at the bottom of the mountain level. Some people's faith is at another level. And he said, okay, this guy, no, let's go and have another experience. You've been following me around for some time. But let's go and have another taste, another level of this revelation or this relationship. And so, he said, he bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. And right in their presence, he said, was transfigured before them. What does it mean to be transfigured? You mean he was acting comedy? No, he didn't go with extra cloth. I started dressing. I said, okay, look at me. Am I nice? No. The glory of God, the manifest presence of God, was revealed in another dimension upon his life. You know, you remember when Moses went to meet with the Lord? When he returned, what happened? You see, his face was shining to the extent that they couldn't look at him. In fact, they started screaming. They said, you want to kill us? We want to kill us because he's... The glory of God was reflecting through him. But now we're talking about Jesus, who is the express glory of God. You know, Moses could only reflect the glory of God. It's just like when you hang around somebody that has a very nice, very strong perfume for a long time. Your clothes will be smelling that perfume. Hallelujah. It's just like when you hang around smokers, you know. It's naturally. That's why when people smoke and they leave the apartment, they ask them to pay a lot of money. Because they need special paint to remove that thing. Otherwise, they will paint it and paint it to still be smelling. So, Moses hung around God and he reflected just small. That's like you put a mirror. But Jesus was the express image of God. And so, when he took them up on that mountain, they saw another dimension of the glory of God. He was transfigured in their presence. And what you look at, let's look at it. It said, and behold, there appeared unto them Moses, Elijah, talking with them. Hallelujah. He said, then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. See,
You cannot really see the glory of God and want to run away. And that's why you see when you see people saying, oh, I don't want to go again. They've not seen it. That was one of the things we discussed yesterday. Because, you know, the ministers, a lot of them were concerned that why is it that, especially in Sweden, you in ministry, week this week, people come in numbers, the chairs filled. Next week, they don't come. What is happening? Some wife were even saying, oh, I even spent my money. I even denied my family food to make sure I cater for members. And once they get half of what they want, they depart. And I'm just looking. They've not seen the glory of God. You know, Yoruba say, anything you more balloon for Basiri. It's the one that doesn't know the king that played with the king. You cannot see the glory of God and want to. No wonder I say, when the glory departed, Adam and Eve, they knew. They knew. So Peter saw a dimension because God only allowed them to see that little dimension because as at that then the Holy Spirit was not in them, they would have been consumed by that fire of his glory. But the little they saw, how did they react? Bible said, then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. He said, don't let us go back. Oh, I don't want to go back. In fact, testimonies of people who passed on, who died, and later came back, they normally say, why did you pray for me to come back? I don't want to come back. Hallelujah. Because the place is so glorious. In fact, there was one of them that when he woke up, the first thing was he beat the place and said, why did you stop me from going? Because you already died. And he said, the place was so beautiful. And the person that laid a hand on him and was praying, said, why did you stop me? He was there from his experience. He was going and going and going. And then then his speed slowed down a bit. And then he came back and said, you should have stopped me. You see, you cannot see the glory of God and not want to run after the glory of God. It is my prayer that our eyes of understanding will be opened afresh to see the glory of God in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Our children will see the glory of God in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Because you cannot experience his glory and not want to run after him. So Peter had that experience and he said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. He said, if thou wilt let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elijah. You know, he didn't even ask for tabernacle for himself. Because he knew that when the glory covers you, you can't be empty. When the glory of God is around you, you can't be empty. You see, what made the difference in the life of Lazarus was that when the maggot infested his intestine and started eating it, when the glory came in, glory said, no, stop. Hallelujah. So, see, what you will need to long after all the days of your life is the glory of God, sir. May God help us in the name of Jesus Christ. He said, when he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, this is my beloved, beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces. And they were so afraid. Remember the book of Psalms says, the word of God, the voice of the Lord is like many waters. So the voice came. But before the voice came, the cloud had to cover. Because the voice of God is the carrier of his majesty. They would have been consumed by that power. And when the voice came and said, and Jesus came and touched them. And said, guys, don't be afraid, don't be scared. And said, arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man except Jesus. Hallelujah. But the lesson they need to learn from here is specifically in verse 5, where it said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Which means that the son of God is pleasing God, and because he is pleasing God, the presence of God is always with him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Remember, the Bible said, but without faith, it is impossible. Let's go to Hebrews. Hallelujah.
Hebrews 11 and 6. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Remember, in Hebrews 11, 6, the Bible said, but. He said, without faith. What is faith? Faith? We're going to define it very soon. Let's just go ahead. He said, but without faith, it is impossible. Impossible. That means not possible to please God without faith. For he that cometh to God must. Say must. Must believe that he is, I mean God exists, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Remember going back to that Mark 17 and verse 5, he said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. So Jesus lived a life that is pleasing. He pleased God. It means he had faith. Hallelujah. Well, somebody might say, oh, but that was Jesus. Yes. He said, as my father sent me, so sent I you. Hello?
Hi.
In fact, when he was talking, when he said, have faith in God, they translated that in have faith in God. The real translation means have faith of God. The English, those who are making and writing the King James Version, because they couldn't comprehend it that well. But if you look at the original text, says, have God's kind of faith. You are created in the image of God. To have God's kind of faith, you are loaded with that faith. But we need to what? To activate it. Thank you, Jesus Christ. What are we talking about? Without faith, the glory of God is not possible. Without faith, the presence of God, the manifest presence of God is not possible. Because when you don't have faith, what you are saying is that God, you are a liar. And God will never show up where he's not celebrated. Hallelujah. Let's look at the heroes of faith. I'm calling the hall of fame of people who operated in faith. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Thank you, Jesus. It's a very long chapter, but we just read just few of it. Hebrews. I mean, when you have time, when you're studying the Bible, it's a very, 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 very good place to read, to get encouragement, because you will see exploits of the people of faith. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11, which is commonly known as the faith chapter. Hallelujah. He said, now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, he said, for by it or by faith. Say, by faith.
By faith.
See, the elders obtained a good report. So, faith made it possible for them to obtain good report. What is good report? Testimony. He said, in verse 3, through faith, we understand that the world was framed by the word of God, so that things which were seen on which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Look at it now. So from verse 4, he started making the list of the people of expert, people who did wonderful things, whose name appeared, you know, in Hall of Fame in the Bible. And the writer was making us understand that what made the difference in their life was because they had faith in God. They pleased God. And the presence of God made all those testimonies possible. Look at it. He said, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. Remember the story of Abel and Cain? He offered. So, what made the difference between Cain and Abel? Because some people said, oh, you know, it was because Abel used an animal and Cain used, fruit. That's not true. That's just, it doesn't even make logical sense. No. It was because he didn't do it in faith. He didn't do it in faith. He did not, and Bible said, whatsoever is not of faith is of sin. Hallelujah. He said, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. See, what makes you righteous? God can say, the issue of Abraham, Bible said, because he believed God, God counted for him for righteousness.
So faith is what makes you righteous, because you did not commit any good thing. Jesus did not commit any sin, isn't it? But they gave him all our sin. They gave us all his righteousness. And how do you get it? By faith. How many of us have traveled to Jerusalem? You've not been there, even though we are planning to go to Jerusalem. But you still believe that one man was arrested about 2,000 years ago, beaten and condemned to death, and he died, and he took your sin away. Papa. It is that faith that made righteousness possible. And so, Bible said that Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it he being dead yet speaking. Verse 5 said, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him, for being before his translations, he had this testimony that what? He pleased God. He had faith. Hallelujah. You see, everyone whom the Bible described as people who pleased God were people who had faith in God. Hallelujah. Not people who read Bible more than others. It's good to read Bible. Not people who attended church service more than others. Not even people who lived in the church. Not even people who preach the word. Not people who give more offering than any other people. No! People who please God. People who believe God for what he said is. Thank you, Jesus. Bible said, he pleased God. He said in verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is he, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. See, he said, by faith, Noah being warned of God, of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepare an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heirs of the righteousness which is by faith. You see, it was a glory. In fact, scientists, they said, if you look at the dimension of that ark, they tried to create it. Looking at the dimension, there was no way it would have followed it. So, it was amid the glory. Hello? You cannot construct it doesn't make scientific sense to construct that thing with that dimension that was described there. It will not float. It will come down. How did it float? The glory. Because he had never seen something anything like that before. He went to them and said, repent. He asked me to take people, take animals, and put them in his hair. He said, this man, he took too much brokutu. Oh, it's crazy. It was crazy. They didn't listen to him. It didn't make sense. But despite the fact that he never saw any kind of prototype of that, he discovered the will of God. He believed the will of God. And Bible said, God counted it for faith for him, and he was saved and his family. Your family and you will be saved in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you read again and again, let's try and read this up to maybe 12, thank you, or 11. He said, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which is he should after receive for an inheritance, obey, and he went out, not knowing where he went. With them, I see. At 75, somebody said, you leave your comfort zone. A wife, no children. The only one you can even call child, maybe was Lot, because Lot was his uncle's, was brother's son. And plenty of slaves or whatever. He was a failure at that time. And God then said, okay, well, come out of your house, your father's house, into a place. He didn't name the place. He said, don't follow me like Mumu. He must have taken faith. Hallelujah. And when, because he took step of faith, the glory started following him, leveling every form of opposition. I see the glory of God going with you and removing every opposition from your way in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. In verse 9, it said, by faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles which
with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Say, for he looked for a city which has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Look at that. He said, look at it. I like this verse 11. He said, true faith also. Talking about the faith of Abraham and the faith of Sarah. You know, when the word came initially, how did Sarah react? She laughed. Say, this womb, we don't pack up. Even if you came to visit us, we gave you, the Bible said they dressed meat for them. They gave them cake. They didn't say they give them wine. So maybe you took wine before you came. You should have just finished our meat and our cake and go back. Why are you lying? She didn't believe. But look at it. At a point, she took the choice and said, even though I didn't believe initially, but now I'm making a choice. And he said, through faith also, Sarah herself received what? Strength. To do what? To conceive seed. And was delivered of a child, which she was past age, because she judged him faithful, who had promised. Which one is easier? A Lazarus that was already eaten by maggot, or a woman that still have life, and somebody say menopause or womenopause? Which one no pause? Whether you pause or not doesn't make a difference. It's the resurrection of the life. He can come. Like somebody's come to, we came to Bishop William and said blood is coming every time. He said, is it blood you want or baby? As long as baby is there. If you have excess blood can come now. As there's baby there. This woman menstruated repeatedly for 9 months, yet baby still landed. You know, science will tell you that once you see blood, start crying. And once you start crying, bam, you close the world. The flow of the glory, and the devil steps in. You understand what I'm saying? He said, Bible said, Sarah received strength, which means not by her natural ability or natural power, it was not possible to believe God could do it at 75. But later, even though she doubted before, she received strength and said, God, I know that my faith is weak at this moment, but empower me to do this. Look at Hannah. Going there, year by year, nothing was coming. Nothing to show forth for it. She prayed, she did everything. But at the point, she said, no, I won't give up. I will not be offended in God. The fact that I've traveled to Shiloh for years and years and years, it doesn't make a difference. It doesn't change God, because God is unchangeable. All he said he will do is what he will do. Every said he will build is what he will build. Every company said he will establish is what he will establish. I will believe him forever. And what happened? The word went to her and said, have it. As you have it, you will have your own. In the name of Jesus Christ. This month will not end without you sharing your testimony in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. What am I talking about? It is the glory. If you read it further down, right up to the last verse in 40, you will see that every of them, what made the difference was not their language, was not their connection, was not their appearance, was nothing but faith. Faith attracted the glory. And when the glory comes in, when the King of Glory comes in, you know, Bible clearly said in that verse 7, he said, let the King and the King of Glory shall come in. He said, who is that King of Glory? He said, the Lord of Hosts. Who is the Lord of Hosts? The Lord of Hosts is not a comedian. No! The Lord of Hosts is a captain. That means that he will stand up to crush that barrier. He removed the barrier that will not make Sarah to conceive. He removed the barrier that will not make Abel to be what he was supposed to be. He removed the barrier that will not make Jesus to be what he was supposed to be. Do you think Jesus was not confronted? He was confronted though. He was confronted. Every demon in here, they gang up together to stop that man called Jesus. You remember at the time, he said, do you want to go to the cross and waste your life? You better give up this struggle. And go and do something else. Go and join Joseph and start doing your carpentry work. Instead of wasting your life. He said, you want to go and die on this cross? Now I'm robbing the crucifier now. Are you an armed robber? No. But he said, no, thy will be done. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. What are we talking about? The heroes of faith were people who enjoyed the glory of God because they pleased God by faith. Faith is the heartbeat of Christianity. When faith dies, Christianity dies. Hallelujah. Faith is the heartbeat of Christianity. Once there is no more faith, forget about everything. You see that in four places in the Bible, it was repeated verbatim. But the just shall live by faith. Hebrews 2:4. Hebrews 2:4, he said, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. He said, but the just shall live by faith. The just, who are the just? The righteous. Hebrews 2:4. Romans 1:17. The same thing repeated. The just shall live by faith. I'm not very sure. Maybe so, if I study again. But I don't think there is any other statement that was repeated verbatim like this in the Bible. Romans 1:17. It said, the just shall live by faith. Galatians 3:11. The just shall live by faith. Galatians 3:11. Hebrews 10:38. Hallelujah. He said, now the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Hallelujah. We are born by faith, because without faith you cannot be born again. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him, or whosoever have faith in what he did, shall not perish, but have everlasting life, or shall have Zoe, or God's kind of life. A lot of times when we talk about everlasting life, we think about life that doesn't end. Yes, that's part of it, but we're talking about the God's quality, in terms of quality and quantity. So it's not just okay, he lived like Methuselah. No, not just like that. Both in quality and in quantity. You know, when we were growing up in Yoruba land, and they said that you have to choose one. It's better you live long and not see bad things. That's satanic. They believe that when people live long, they're supposed to. So when bad things happen to them, they say, because you are living long. That is a lie. Abraham lived long. He enjoyed life. Hello, Isaac lived long. He enjoyed it. No bad news for you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. No bad news for you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. So we are born by faith. We live by faith. We walk by faith. Without faith, we are doomed. That's the truth. So when we're talking about the issue of faith and faith and faith and faith and faith, it is the heartbeat of Christianity, because the just or the righteous, they shall live by faith. Thank you, Jesus. As you start to round up, let's just look. What is then? What then is faith? Because when we just speak grammar, we don't understand what we are talking about. We need to make it clear to it ourselves. What then is faith? What is faith? Hebrews 11:1. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11:1 says, now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, hope says, my God can do it. Faith says, my God can do it, but he has done it now. Faith says, it is already settled. Hope says, yes, he can do it. He has promised he will never fail. Yes. But faith says, he has promised he will never fail, and he has done it for me. It means, it's a substance. Substance means a title deed or the evidence. Faith says that even though my body is aching somehow, but I know that according to his word, he said that by his stripe I was made whole. I am whole. I'm whole right now. And so I start taking steps in line with what his word says or what his will says. Hallelujah. Faith is an invisible force that produces visible miracle. You see, the issue of faith is not something that God just says, okay, you my children just have faith. No, that is what God lives by himself. He created the earth, the entire universe by faith.
He sat down and he spoke into existence, believing that, yes, it will come to pass. Thank you, Jesus. What is faith? Faith is discovering the will of God and walking in it or acting in line with that will. Remember, last month we looked at the composition of the total man, that we are spirits. Let me refer to it again because repetition helps you to understand things. We are spirit beings. We live in the physical body and we possess a soul, isn't it? And that soul, in this soul, comprises of three departments or three divisions. Your will, our will, our emotions, and what is the third one? Feeling. No, feeling is still emotion. Our mind. Your mind, you see, you're supposed to know this one by now, otherwise we'll write the exam next week. I will break a note, everybody will write the exam. Your soul is comprised of your mind. What is your mind for? Your mind is your center of excellence, isn't it? Where you build, you acquire information. You want to learn 1 + 1. You don't use your leg to learn that. Hello? Even though you hear it from your teacher, your ear, which is, it takes the signal, but it is your mind that stores it. It's like a camera that has the ability to store information. Hallelujah. Then you have your will. Your will is the center of decision. You decide, I want to have a red shirt, I have to have a red shoe. I want to have a blue car, I have to have a white car. You decide based on what your mind has stored, information that you have received. Then your feeling or your emotion is what is the realm of feeling. And the three together is what you call your soul. Thank you, Jesus. And so when the Bible said that, when the Bible used your heart, it's talking about your mind. And remember we said that your mind also comprises of your subconscious mind and your conscious mind. Your conscious mind is the one that you use right now. As you are hearing information, you are downloading it. But your subconscious mind is the one that is below. That every information that you have had enough, that you have listened to enough, is downloaded or is pushed to the subconscious mind. And that's why when you see yourself reacting, your child did something, and you react, you say, why did I do that thing? Because you have your subconscious mind has had again and again, has learned to react that way, and before you think about it, you have reacted. Hallelujah. Like I said, I've met people who lie without even planning it. Why? That ability, not ability per se, but that habit, or that lying habit, has been downloaded into your subconscious mind, and naturally it reacts. Hello? When you are typing your password, a lot of times we don't memorize our password on our phone, on our computers. When you use it again and again and again, your subconscious mind downloads this, and without thinking about it, you just use it. And that's why even when we are singing songs, we say it's good for us even to put it on the screen so that you will be reading the lyrics. Because there are most of these songs, our subconscious mind has downloaded it. So we are singing, but our mind is not there. You are singing here in the church, your mind is the master. Hello? Hallelujah. Because your subconscious mind has downloaded it. And that's why, when we are worshiping, we are obviously the assignment of the one in the front is to carry us and from every distraction and lead us into his presence and say, okay, now forget about even what is in your subconscious mind, put it together with what is, let your subconscious mind merge with your conscious mind and worship God. What's the link with faith right now? You know, Jesus, when he was praying in Matthew chapter 6, when they asked him to teach them how to pray, he taught them, he said, but when you pray, that's Matthew chapter 6, starting from verse 7. He said, when you pray, use not vain repetition. Say, don't just come and say, okay, you shout Jesus 7 times, and it is done. It's not wrong to do that. But a lot of times, it's just religious thing. Hello? You can shout Jesus 10 times. if it's not accompanied with faith, it's just wait. He said, but when you pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. No, you can repeat it many times, it doesn't make a difference. It is faith that makes it louder than any other thing. He said, for they think that when they be heard of their speaking, he said, in verse 8, he said, be ye not therefore like unto them, for your father knoweth that what things ye have need of before ye ask. Now, verse 9, he said, after this manner, now teaching them about how to pray, Therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. He said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's where we are going now. So what is faith then? Faith is aligning your will with the will of heaven. Did you get it now? Well, for example, the will of heaven is for you to go and build an orphanage, for example. And you look at your account, it doesn't show as if there's nothing realistic in terms of physical evidence. But faith says, God, if you ask me to go and do it, I will. Then you release your will. You align with the will of God. Then his glory comes in. That's what you call faith. Faith is agreeing with what the word of God says or what the will of God says. That's a very simple way to understand it. Did you get anything from this now? What is faith? Faith is agreeing with the will of God. Merging your will with the will of God or agreeing to what the word of God says. And once you do that, then his glory will be released. Why is it necessary? God in heaven, seated in heaven, he created this realm called earth. And his plan is for his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. But you remember that God will never come down physically to come and do it here. He's going to use you and I. And therefore, it's necessary for us to agree with his plan. It's just like when if you say, okay, I'm having a plan to go and establish a branch of this company or company A in Stockholm Central. And I say, okay, you, Mr. X, you'll be the one that will be taking care of it. So look at this place. Go and reproduce exactly what you saw there. And when you are there, if we meet, if I have to move 5 centimeters left, I say, move 5 centimeters left, you two should move. So what God was saying is that he wanted to beautify, create the earth, and he will give us the picture of what it's supposed to be, and therefore we should download or we should take that picture and do exactly what he asked us to do. But when you say, no, I don't want, then his glory will depart. It's just like when you say, okay, I'm sending you, I'm giving you this 10,000 crowns to go and buy paint and paint this building. And when you finish, I will say another 10,000 for you to buy the carpet. And you say, oh, no, this 10,000, I think I should use it for my birthday party. Sure, you blow it. And you say, oh, no, I'm going to give you another one. I go say, I didn't send you to go and use it for birthday party. I asked you to go and use it to paint. So faith is agreeing with God and doing what he asks you to do in accordance to his word. It's very simple. The easiest way to quench the presence of God is to do anything contrary. That's why the Bible says that anything that is not of faith is of sin. What is sin? Sin is the word. When you do anything against the will of God. Thank you, Jesus Christ. What is the link between with it today? I want us to understand that when you do the will of God, his faith, you believe in God, his presence will be released, and when his presence is there, every mountain will move in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Let's stand up. Thank you, Jesus. So, we are talking about the faith connection with the glory. You must understand the fact that your readiness to do the will of God is what we call faith. And once you are ready to do that, it will be backed up by his presence. And that's why the Bible is, you see, it defines faith. I mean, it said how faith comes in Romans 10:10. Thank you, Jesus. I will quickly, if you jump to 17. It says so in Romans 10:17, starting from, if you're writing that, you can write it from 10 to 17. Thank you, Jesus. He said, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, or whosoever have faith. Verse 12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. He said, for whosoever, say whosoever. Whosoever. He said, whosoever, whether man or woman, old or young, shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. Why? He said, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings unto of good things. Now, he said, but they have not allowed, they have not all obeyed the gospel. Why? For Elijah said, Lord, who, Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How does faith come? Faith comes when you hear the word of God. What is the word of God? A word is a thought that is given expression. If I stay with you and I look at you in the face for 1 hour, I didn't say anything. Will you know my plan? No! There is nobody, not even the devil, has the capacity to know what is in your heart until you speak it out. And therefore, our word is the vehicle with which we express our thoughts. Or that we pass our thoughts to somebody or to something. And therefore, God passed his thoughts to us. And when you hear, that's what the Bible says, faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. You see that the word translated the word of God means the utterance of God. So, until you hear, until you get the information that it is the will of God for me to be healed, you cannot believe for healing. And that's why faith, it is impossible for faith to come without you discovering the will of God first. Hallelujah to Jesus Christ. Amen. What is the will of God for my home, for example? What is the will of God for my marriage? You say marriage is honorable. So even it may be passing through challenges. Then with that faith, you'll be able to stand and say, no, it is written. Whosoever find a wife, find a good thing and obtain favor from the Lord. If marriage is a good thing, therefore you cannot be feeding on this marriage. I take authority over you. Then the faith comes to fight it. Hallelujah. When you hear the word that it is written, that it will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, when you have financial challenges, then you'll be able to stand because you have discovered that the will of God is for you to prosper. Say, my wish or my will for you is for you to prosper even though as your soul prospering. So you cannot prosper more than the level of the prosperity of your soul. What's your soul? Your mind. Hallelujah to Jesus. So that's the link. The King of glory will always come in. Faith is the answer. And faith comes by discovering or hearing the will of God. And that's why even when you fast, fasting is not about don't go man shaking your head. No, fasting is about shutting down and unplugging your eyes, your ears, your mouth, your nose, everything from the world and plugging it into the word of God. So when you are fasting, you're not studying the word. It's better you go to you go and eat pizza. That's the truth. That's why when you fast, you say that's why it's sorry for taking your time anyway. But if you go to Isaiah 58, God said, is this not the kind of fasting that I've given to you? And you see that the main thing is for light. Light is the essence of fasting. Light, revelation is the essence of fasting. Because when you fast, you discover the will of God. And when you discover the will of God, you align yourself with the will of God. When you align yourself with the will of God, that's what you call faith. And when faith is in place, you have pleased God and his glory will be there. Let's give God thanks. Let's give him praise. Hallelujah. So that is it, sir. That is the secret. That is the secret. The secret is about faith. And what is, how does it come? Faith comes when you discover the will of God. When your mind discover what the will of God is. And when you discover what the will of God is, then you'll be able to align yourself. And I'm telling you, there is no realm of existence where that faith is not, it's not powerful. Let's give God praise. Give him thanks. Thank you for the dimension of the glory that you have experienced as a family, as a person. Give him praise. Give him glory. Give him honor. Give him adoration. Magnify his holy name. Thank him. Him alone is worthy. Him alone is worthy. Give him glory. Give him honor. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Give him glory. Give him praise. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you. We bless you. We honor you. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. want us to pray and say, Lord, open my eyes of understanding. You see, when the Bible says fight the good fight of faith, religion has taught us many things. We started manufacturing demons that didn't exist. When you say fight the good fight of faith, hey, brethren, fight the good fight of faith now. What we do is that we imagine small demons and say, cast them at least. It's not that, oh. The good fight of faith is the fight to keep your faith intact or to keep your will in line with the will of God. That's why they say, he said, the weapon of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through the pulling down of strong goals. What are strong goals? Imagination. He said, I'm bringing down every thought that exalted itself against knowledge of God. So the main work of the devil, because he knows that the heaven can't do nothing for you except through your mind. And he knows that no devil also can do anything in your life without your mind, sir. That's why it takes your permission for him to penetrate. Hello? You will never open up for the devil in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Yes. You will not open up your destiny for the devil in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Yes. Look at Job. You see, we've been deceived many times. Oh, Job just... No! Job, open up. Fear. Until he discovered that place and blocked the fear. I said, no more! The devil was, he came about tormenting him. There are many ways you have been opening up. Every activity of the spirit of fear in your life, I curse it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. That's why he said that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but has given us the spirit of love and sound mind. Sound mind. What is a sound mind? A sound mind is a mind who is the mind of Christ. A mind that is ruled by the word of God. A mind that has aligned itself with the will of God. Take time to listen to this message again, sir. Because it's so deep, honestly. It is so deep. It is so deep. When your mind is in line with the will of God, there is no devil. He doesn't have that capacity that we are giving him, sir. No! That's the reason they could look at him and say, with all your zero pack. Because they couldn't grasp it. In the natural, it doesn't make, it's not possible to have that kind of physique and still be healthy. But Jesus said, no, I am the resurrection and the life. My word is superior to any kind of doctor's opinion. You know, they say you have low sperm. What is low sperm kind? How many sperm do you need to impregnate a woman? Just one. Also, who tells you that you can't have a baby? Who tells you that because your lineage, they've passed through certain things, you can't make it in life? It's a lie. Because he said, if you are in Christ Jesus, all things have passed away. All things are new. So even if your parents didn't make it, you will make it because you are in Christ Jesus. So align your will. See, as you go this week, I want you to see yourself as a new person, sir. See with faith of possibility. Carry yourself as a king. We have to close. Hallelujah. Amen. See, approach your office with that mentality. Even if you're a cleaner, even if you're the head of a company and a cleaner, it doesn't make a difference. He said, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Mordecai was a gate man. He was relevant. Joseph as a thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. As a slave, he was relevant. Papa. So forget about all these things. You are white, you are green, you are yellow. It's just nonsense. That's the truth. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we lift up ourselves unto you afresh. We ask for the grace to indeed line up with your will in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We shall not depart from your will in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, according to your word, let your glory go with us to announce our testimony of divine enlightenment in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. This year will not end without us sharing that testimony in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, as Mary said, he said, be it unto me according to your word. Lord, be it unto us according to your word, the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And nothing will succeed in taking us from your presence in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. However, I want to remind you that God loves you so much that he gave his only begotten son for the entire world, including you, to be saved from sin and all its consequences. It therefore does not make any sense to spend the next minute of your life without accepting Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. God bless you as you believe and confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior right now. Hallelujah.